On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned praised. No one returned to praise God except this foreigner." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for your grace that abounds in this community between each and every one of us, for your grace that is at work in our lives and in the world moving all around us, seeking to fill our hearts, our lives, and the community. Thank you, Lord, for your persistent invitation for us to be people of love and action in the world. God, share with us today a word, an image, a thought from you, and how to live faithfully and to follow the ways of Jesus. And may the words from my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this month of November, we've been focusing all about stewardship. This beautiful picture and thought that each and every one of us are but stewards of gifts and talent that God has blessed us with and entrusted us with. We are people who have been entrusted with this one precious life, knowing that we all are all so unique, that there's nobody in the world just like us. There's only one Eugene Onishi. There's only one Terry Adolfo. There's only one Jerry Lee. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, "There's only one you. There's only one you. There's only one you." That we've been blessed and provided with a special upbringing, a life story that is unique to our own. Nobody has your story. Nobody. But the question is, how are you going to be a steward of who you are and what you've been through in life? I love hearing stories and testimonies, even more than sermons. We're so grateful for Michelle Vaughn, Joel Ng, and Larissa today for sharing your story about how you've been blessed and invited by God and this community to be here in this place. What is it about your story and your life experience that has drawn you to this place? What is it about God and God's identity? Is it God's love? Is it how God is an all-inclusive God extending welcome to everyone? But we trust that this has been a community. We all have our reasons of why we come here, but we trust that you have your own story about why you're here and why you've chosen to make Blaine your community, your people, folks who have your back, folks who think about you, folks who pray for you, folks who are there for you. A common thread within each of the stories that I've heard these last 3 weeks, and even in many of my conversations with you all, is a story that we all have been strangers at one point. In whatever circle that may be, you might feel like a stranger here at church today. Maybe you felt like a stranger as an immigrant to the U.S. Maybe that was your grandmother, your great-grandfather. Can you think of a time in your life when you've been a stranger? Whether it was a new school, new neighborhood, and what it was like to actually feel welcomed and embraced and accepted just as you are. And it's a gift that we have here at Blaine, that we could call this our community, this place that we could return our thanksgiving and praise to God. In today's gospel passage, we hear a story of healing. I know many of you are familiar with this story. There are so many stories in the scriptures about Jesus healing folks. But I think the focus of the story, yes, someone has been healed, but the focus of the story is how those who are healed, how those who have been invited, engaged by this love and this healing, respond. In this passage, there are a story of 10 lepers, those afflicted with this skin disease, who approach Jesus and ask for mercy. And Jesus commanded them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." What's interesting about this and some other stories of healing is that the actual healing took place as they traveled away from Jesus. Jesus actually not being in the vicinity. Healing took place among these lepers in the presence of one another, in the community with each other, with those who are also experiencing some sort of struggle, pain, grief, maybe not sensing a sense of belonging, not feeling welcome. But this healing took place with one another, just like we do here at church. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, looked for Jesus, and praised God with a loud voice. And he offered Jesus thanksgiving. This gratitude was met with Jesus' approval. And he asked him, "What about the other 9? Where are they at? Weren't they healed also?" Gratitude and thanksgiving. What was different about this one individual? What prompted this one to come back to Jesus? In ancient times, those with leprosy suffered more than just these physical effects of having a skin disease. Many commentators say that they were actually considered ritually impure, unable to enter the temple to worship, and even in many cases being isolated away from everybody else. If someone was cured of this disease, the very first step for them would be to go straight to the priest to be examined. And if the priest gave them a green light, if they're cured, then they were able to undertake the rituals and sacrifices in worship again. So when Jesus commanded the 10 lepers to show themselves to the priest, he was telling them to begin this process that would allow them to be back into community, into the life of worship. All 10 of the lepers were faithful enough to go on their way to the priests, even though there hadn't been any healing yet. But all 10 maybe believed or hoped, or perhaps prayed, to take that first step of faith. Have you ever wished or hoped for something so badly in your life that you desired something that you even hoped, wished, and even prayed for it? Perhaps it's a change in your life. Perhaps it's some sort of healing in your family or a relationship. I want to show you a picture. Many folks know that me, Sarah, and the kids had the blessing and opportunity to go to Greece this summer. So fun. That's a picture of my hand. if you can't see it, it's hard to see, but it's my right hand. Towards the very end of my trip, I started getting these large bumps on my hand. And within less than a day, next slide, it looked like this. Ew. Pretty bad. I struggle and have what's called eczema. I've had it my entire childhood. A flare-up of my skin, a burning sensation of my skin on my hands and my face, even to the point where my skin becomes red, hardens up, even on my face. And even there's some discoloration. There are many moments in my life where I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be around folks with my eczema flaring up. That I want to be hidden in a way and far away from folks. That I'd lift up a prayer and ask God, God, heal me, take this away from me. And the moment that my skin would get better and appear to get a little bit better, I'd be so quick to move on to the next task. Okay, what do I got to do next? Realizing that, wait a minute, I didn't even take a moment to pause, to be quiet, to have a moment to think about the healer and the giver of life who's provided me this healing. The scripture passage is a story about gratefulness. It's a story that reminds us to look to the giver of our lives. I love the word gratefulness. I like gratitude, but I love the word gratefulness, because gratefulness is more of a state of being. It's a continual work, continual action. It's being mindful to cultivate this sense of being thankful and expressing gratitude for all that we have. Some of you have heard me share this story before, but I'll share it because it reminds me of gratefulness and thanksgiving. Much of who I am is how I was raised. Many of you know that I was raised in a family context in which my parents ran an adult family home. An adult family home is a place that's similar to a nursing home, but it's within a family residence. And that was my entire childhood, from Jonah and Emma's age all the way up through adulthood. So can you imagine that? It was my childhood, along with my mom, dad, my Lola, my grandmother, and 5 residents that we had a blessing to be around. I have so many stories, so many pictures of residents who have been blessing in my life, but one that comes to mind is a friend named Dino. There's Dino. Dino was a gentleman probably in his 70s by the time I was a student at the University of Washington. I could recall he had his independence. Even though he was resident living with us, he still was independent to be able to take Metro bus. He'd make his way to Belltown on the weekends, and oftentimes he would get lost and not find his way home. Oftentimes he had too many drinks and wouldn't know what to do. I remember one evening when my mom called me and said, "Hey, could you pick up Dino? He's in Belltown. He's lost. He doesn't know where he is, but I think he's at the park." So being at UW, I invited my roommate Chi, and I said, "Hey Chi, come with me. Let's go to Belltown." "Why are we going to Belltown?" "Don't worry, just come. So we made our way to Belltown. We're driving around and looked at me and said, What are you doing? Why do you have all these newspapers spread out in the back seat?" I had spread out newspapers in the back seat because I had known that Dino had too many drinks and that he probably maybe was a mess. And by the time I found Dino at the park, Chi and I had lifted him up and put him in the back seat of our car, drove him back home to our home in Renton, the adult family home. And what I'll always remember was a brief interaction that I've had with Dino when we dropped him off. He looked at me and he said, John, that's my family nickname for those who don't know. He said, "Dion, you and your family are my family. I appreciate you. Thank you for helping me." And I remember what I said to him. I said, "Dino, it's all right. No need to thank us. We're just here. Mom called me. She told me to come get you." And he said, "It's not your guys' job to take care of me. So when you do something like this for me, I need to say thank you." And there's something startling about those words in that moment. It was in that moment of gratitude that I heard in Dino's voice. As I look back at it, like 20 years ago, I reflect on it, 20 years ago, that Dino in that moment recognized his need to be thankful. And not only that, but he recognized the need to express it. And that's what we hear in the scripture passage, is that one leper understood the need to express thanksgiving to God and to be able to voice it to the one who provided healing. Ronald Rollheiser writes that gratitude is the basis of all holiness. He writes that the holiest person we know is probably the most grateful person we know. And it's probably true for love. Think about the most loving person you know in your life. That person probably is the most grateful person in your life. Friends, Christ, the great inviter, invites us, reminds us today to root our lives each and every day in gratefulness. As we seek to be Christ's followers, as we seek to understand this meaning of life, trying to understand what it means to extend love and compassion and goodness to those all around us, that we must be rooted in this gratefulness, returning and acknowledging all praise to the one who has blessed us and provided. Last Sunday, we celebrated Emma's 5th birthday. She's 5. And it seems like we celebrated her every single day, not just one day. And there was a gift provided by so many people. You know, when you're 5, you just get gifts from everybody. But last Sunday, her actual birthday, as she left, for those that were at Charge Conference, we sang happy birthday for her. There were over 50 people in the room. She wasn't there to experience it, but I recorded it on my phone. She fell asleep, and the very next morning I said, "Emma, guess what? What? I have something for you for your birthday. What is it?" And I played it for her. And there are 50 of us singing and serenading her happy birthday. And at the end of that video, she said, "Oh, where's my present?" Oh my goodness. And that is a reminder. That is a reminder. Even though we think about a 5-year-old, I think about myself, that we are blessed with so many gifts in our lives to be able to breathe the breath, the simple breath that we take. The moment that we're able to see our mom, our dad, our kids. The moment that we're able to celebrate another year of life, 100 years, blessing of Molly, who's turned 100 years old, another blessing. As we plan and prepare for Thanksgiving this coming week, wherever you are, around the table, whoever you find yourself sitting across from on Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, Thursday for lunch, Thursday for dinner, let's be mindful of the ways that we could be grateful. I'd like to invite Arlene and Colin. Is Colin here? As they're making their way towards the front and setting up, they're going to be sharing a song with us all. And I want us to take the time to really reflect and pause. So as they get set up and share this song, it's a song called Give Thanks. I want us to think, even right now in this moment, I think David has a slide. Whether it's today, we could practice it right now as they begin to play their song. I want us to think about this gratefulness practice. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's not. Maybe it's something that you could integrate around the Thanksgiving table. Maybe you do it every year. But what would it look like to do this gratefulness practice, to name and to actually write down 3 things that we're grateful for today? What 3 things are you grateful for today? So as Colin and Arlene begin to play this song, let this be a moment of meditation for you, thinking about the many blessings in our lives that we could remember and to acknowledge and to return thanks to God. And the second practice is, it's a Mr. Rogers practice. We just saw it last night. And one thing that I love about Mr. Rogers is he says this: take a moment of silence to pause, close your eyes, and to think about all the people in your life who loved you into being you. So you're invited in this moment to pause, to practice these three things that you're grateful for, or this Mr. Rogers practice. Who are the people in my life that have loved me into being? Let us pray. God, we're so thankful. We're so grateful for life, for breath, for community, that we have this place that we could call home, a church family that loves and embraces us just as we are. God, in our moments of reflection, may we remember your many blessings and to return thanks to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.